Welcome to the show, everybody. How are you today? I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I hope you have a wonderful week planned. Something exciting, something new. Who knows? Anything. I know a lot of people are tuned in to the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Now, of course, it's been going on for the past couple of weeks. I have been hooked to it. It's still live currently right now. I actually had to peel myself off and away to do this show currently. I even have it. It's still here in front of me. I was watching it all the way up until the very moment. And actually, I know my guest was also watching because I heard you listening to it. But it is really my honor to welcome you to the show. This is Jorge Ventura. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Adam. Yeah, man, I've been hooked. I'm like addicted to that live stream. I've been watching every second. So, yeah, I mean, it's fascinating, right? It's a murder trial like this. In American history, it's absolutely fascinating.
There's a lot on the line with this too. You know, it's not just the self-defense of Kyle Rittenhouse. It's being able to defend yourself in general. You know, I don't know if you caught this, that the prosecution straight up said to him, you lose the right to defend yourself when you bring a gun. He said that. It's like, excuse me? So the Second Amendment, have you ever heard of it? The Second Amendment. So first is freedom of speech. Second is everyone can bear arms, gun.
Yeah. And the best part of that too, is the prosecution star witness, Grosskreutz. He brought a firearm, you know,
right.
And then he ended up, he made the situation worse, I believe, because he actually lied in the police statement. He never Correct. Mentioned that he brought the firearm. He told the police that it fell. So even his own star witness says that he believes in the Second Amendment. So you gotta love that.
And that same star witness said on the stand that he pointed that gun at Kyle Rittenhouse, mm-hmm. and then Kyle Rittenhouse shot him. So it's like, today, which is crazy. So the prosecution is almost trying to convince the jury that all of their witnesses never existed. Like, oh, forget all of those witnesses that we brought open, because really they screwed us. So they didn't say our side of the story. So we're just going to tell you that none of that matters and just listen to what we're telling you now. And it is just, it's crazy. Like, how do they think the jury is just going to forget all of the, I mean, I've been watching for the past couple weeks and it's very, very evident, at least to me, that he was defending himself. Granted, I thought this already for last year.
I'm on that same team as well. The only thing I'm worried about, man, with a case like this that is so politicized, you know, I kind of feel that sometimes a jury almost has their mind, you know, made up before the trial. Look, I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but you know, I don't know, man. Anything could happen with this stuff. You also have Grosskreutz going on like Good Morning America and CNN, and then telling them that he never pointed a gun at Rittenhouse. So then, you know, he could just go on mainstream media and kind of already start, you know, trying to win the public, you know, in the court of public opinion. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping that the jury didn't have their mind made up. This is one of those cases that is so politicized. It was in the news every day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got one side of the media calling this guy a white supremacist. It's funny, Adam, because he must be the worst white supremacist because he only shoots at white people.
No. He only shoots at people that try to kill him, which is even crazier, too. You know, he didn't even want to shoot him. He made that very, very clear over and over and over again. But do you think public opinion is going to make a difference? Like you mentioned, you know, he's going on CNN and swaying public opinion by, of course, lying, because when he was on a stand under oath, he said he pointed the gun at Kyle Rittenhouse and then Kyle shot him. But now, you know, he's doing this thing about he was on a couple shows CNN invited him on to explain what he meant by it. And it's like, what do you mean explain? What they're trying to do is whip up a frenzy so that people go crazy. And the jury aren't allowed to watch news, right? They're like sequestered for the entire time of the trial. Am I correct? I think that's correct.
That's correct. But I mean, you would imagine that. I mean, they could just check their phone really quick at Twitter. It's right there. And also another key thing to point out is Grosskreutz also has history of actually hitting his girlfriend. So he's already have history of, you know, domestic violence. So that's something that I hope that the jury kind of remembers.
Well, Kyle didn't know that though. Right. You know, he doesn't know any of these things in the moment. So like, same with Rosenbaum. Like, people are like, "Well, he took out a pedophile," and it's like, "Yeah, but that it doesn't matter. It could have been an upstanding citizen that was still enraged, trying to kill him. Like that, it was that he was going after him and he was defending himself. That's really the key thing. Granted, he did take out a pedophile, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's true, all right, I'm not upset about that side of things, but I'm not one to celebrate violence ever. You know, I'm not happy that it all went down. I'm not happy that Kyle has to live with two deaths on his hands. Like, that blood that is on his hands will never go away. Man. Depending, you know, it doesn't matter who they were. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, he was still a kid. 17-year-old, I'm sorry, that's a child. Like, when I was 17, I thought I was grown up. I had no clue what life was about, right? So that blood's always going to be on his hands. So, I feel bad for him.
No, I feel bad for him, too. And you could tell when he was on the stand that he was showing real signs of PTSD, like, live on TV. He was having a panic attack. And I'm glad that the judge right there was like, hold on, let's take a 10-minute break.
True.
Relax. But you could see it in Kyle that moment is a traumatic experience. He was only 17 years old. I think people really forget about that. You know, when I was 17, I was sneaking out of my mom's house and just trying to smoke pot. You know, This is a whole different level. You know, and he does have PTSD. You could literally see it live on TV. It really made me angry at him when, you know, you have the kind of that liberal media establishment where, like, oh, those are crocodile tears. It's like
LeBron James.
Oh my God, LeBron James is trying to dunk on this kid. You know, LeBron James is trying to make, you know, is one of those guys who is supposed to be an advocate for mental health, but then he makes fun of the mental health of someone who's living through PTSD. So
insane, man. You know what? You make a good point, too, though, because I didn't even think about this, right? I'm on camera every day, right? I stand in front of a camera. You know, you're out there doing reporting. We're used to being in front of a camera, right?
Right.
It's not just the PTSD. He was in front of the nation. It is the most watched. Everyone's watching this trial, you know? So, like, that camera is on with a little light, and it's like, you don't know the kind of pressure that he is without a camera, that he actually killed someone. He's got this PTSD. He's sitting there having to relive it and answer these questions to a condescending, for lack of a better word, asshole prosecutor that's just making him asking the same question over and over because he's not getting the response to the answer that he wants from him. But Kyle's like, this is what it is. He's probably got millions of people watching. You know, Rakita right now, currently, has 75.
They were like at 80,000 last time.
They were at 85, I think, was the peak that I saw. But right now they're at 75,000. And that's one place on YouTube, you know, and I've been watching Rakita. That's how I've been getting it. It's cool because he's got a panel of lawyers and they have differing opinions. Most of them are pretty, I know all of them are definitely on Kyle's side. Absolutely. But
what I love about that too, Adam, it also shows when people are watching the live stream like that they're done also with the mainstream narrative. I mean, they're crushing CBS News,
yes, Yahoo they
Finance's
are.
Live stream. So that's a great thing to see is when independent creators are just smashing out those mainstream media channels, because first of all, people are sick of the lie, but YouTube also boosts these channels with algorithms. So us independent creators are, you know, we get hurt by this stuff, but it's good to see that the people would rather tune into this panel, get the real news, get it, you know, get a commentary like that than just listen to the narrative on either side. You know, like this, you're getting just clear cut information. I've been hooked on this, Adam. So I'm an advocate for them all day when it came to this trial.
Definitely. And if you guys don't know about Nick Rakita, please go follow him at Rakita Media on YouTube. Best way to get a hold of the actual, because they're sitting there live streaming the entire trial and commenting on things. And they definitely are on Kyle's side. I'll just let you know. But it's so crazy. Even YouTube has cut them off. They cut him off today three or four times. I was sitting there watching and all of a sudden the stream cut. And I'm like, And Nick even was mentioning, like, hey, I a smaller account that I know of hit me up and said, I just got a copyright claim on public information. This is a public trial. It was a public feed. So there is no copyright. It's not copywritten because it's a public feed. So even Viva was posted. Viva, if you don't know him, he's also a lawyer. He's a Canadian lawyer, but he's prominent on the interwebs. I'm sure you know of him. But, you know, he tweeted out, he's like, how is this legal? What's going on here? You know, it's a public stream that we're commenting on. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, of course, YouTube reestablished the stream within 2 minutes. And then 3 minutes go by, boom, they cut it again. And this is what I find very interesting. It was right when the prosecution was doing their closing statement. So it's almost like they wanted to cut off a lot of people from critiquing and breaking apart the closing statements from the prosecution. And I had it on a different stream. So I was actually watching it. I'm like, this is insane. They seriously were trying to make it seem like Kyle was a bad person and the people that he killed were good people, which I was like, whoa, you're bringing into account who they were. Here, let me show you an example of what I'm talking about, because he had this list. Let me see if I can find it really quick.
Yeah, and for those who watch the live stream of Law and Crime, which is literally just a live stream, they got their stream cut just because they put a poll up, and it was 80% of the
poll's
favorite Kyle. I was watching it on Twitter. I mean, there's literally no commentary on that stream, but they got their stream taken down just for having the poll, and 80% people sided with Kyle, and they got the stream cut.
Wow. Look at the craziness here. This is a true. This is what Binger actually put up. This is Little Binger, the guy who looks like Littlefinger. He, if you look down at the bottom, I mean, yeah. What is heroic or honorable to provoke and shoot an unarmed people? What? That's not what Kyle was doing. He wasn't some crazy shooter that was going with the intent of shooting people. But that's what this second line is definitely trying to insinuate. Consider whether it is heroic or honorable to lie about being an EMT. Did he? Did he actually do that, or are they just saying that he did? We all know someone like the defendant enjoys the thrill of telling people what to do without the courage or honor to back it up.
That's pure speculation. That's pure speculation.
Exactly. Yeah. And then this. Contrast this with Anthony Huber, who gave his life to save others. What?
Dude, that last line is my favorite.
Look at that line. He was giving his life to save others. He was going after him. He beat Rittenhouse with a skateboard. Look, I'm a skateboarder, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You can absolutely hurt someone with a skateboard. Now, I didn't. Absolutely. The only person I've ever really hurt with my skateboard is me, because, you know, that's what happens when you're learning how to skateboard. But you could pick that skateboard up and definitely hurt somebody. You hit him on the head, which, guess what? That's where he was hit, right here in the back of the neck. If it connected with his spine, Kyle Rittenhouse could have been paralyzed for life. If he swung again and hit him in the back of the head, and he could have died.
And let's not forget, Grosskreutz, when he was on the stand, even he said when Kyle Rittenhouse got hit with the skateboard that he was worried that Rittenhouse was going to get a head trauma. So even your star witness,
who
is supposedly the medical expert, right? He's the real EMT. Even he just said that Kyle Rittenhouse could have got a head, you know, that he possibly would have suffered head trauma. So even the star witness says that. So you gotta just love that. That it all comes full circle.
It's insane. Every single time the prosecution brought on another witness, I'm like, oh, what is this witness going to say that's going to totally screw the prosecution? Because it just felt like every witness was just like, he was defending himself. He was defending himself. And by the end, it feels like they're struggling. And that's actually what they were talking about before we just went live. They're talking because right now they're doing their final arguments. Mm-hmm. Okay. Both teams have had their say. Here's my closing statement. Here's my closing statement. And now they're doing like the rebuttals where everyone, I believe they have like 30 minutes to, although it's, they are seemingly going way over 30 minutes to respond to the closing statements. And the prosecution feels very flustered. Like they really do sound like they're against the ropes, you know, and they're, it's like ninth round and they're just running out of steam. Like we have nothing left and we are just barely standing up, and the guy's getting frustrated. It's like, I believe Kyle's gonna you know, be exonerated. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously one of the positive signs, but it was even you know, even the judge, he dropped count six, which is the unlawful carry. So yeah, so he dropped that, and it was just those five charges, which is a really good sign for Kyle. You need anything
huge
like that.
Huge.
So hey, let's see what happens on this rebuttals. You know, the state has the burden of proof, so they're the ones that have to convince that jury that without, you know, beyond reasonable doubt. So look, we'll see. The only thing, Adam, like I said, that just the back of my mind is if this jury has somehow made up their mind before even stepping in, just because of how politicized this case is. That's the only thing on that's in the back of my mind. But look, anything can happen. We'll see. But I do feel that the defense played their A game with everything, having the videos.
Definitely today they did, for sure.
Yeah, you can see the prosecution was very flustered. You know, Binger, you could tell it in those constant clashes with the judge made it even more fascinating.
And it's, I've never, now I don't watch a lot of court cases, so I don't have much experience with prosecution or the defendant clashing with the judge, other than like Judge Judy. But, you know, that's what that show's about, is the clashing, but, you know, not with like serious stuff like this. So it's really interesting to see.
And it's, I don't know. It's fun to see the liberal media like just blow up their minds when the judges makes like the Asian food on the ports of Long Beach joke, and they just,
that's
like,
a good joke.
It's a good joke.
That's a good joke, right? And you know what? It's even crazier when you pair it. I actually have a this Defiant L's. Shout out to the Defiant L's. If you guys don't know who Defiant L's are, they're incredible. Where is this? It's a tail. I have It's basically a perspective issue, right? And it's the news and how, just as we were talking about. Here we go. It's a tale of two perspectives, as I call it. Judge in Kyle Rittenhouse trial faces backlash from Asian food joke. Definitely not okay. Same exact newspaper, Washington Post. The artificial controversy over Biden and the Negro explained. You know what I mean? And it's like, so... one is a controversy and not okay, but the other is an artificial controversy. Like, what's happening with that? Why does Biden get a pass? Why is he suddenly? I mean, it seems he could seemingly get away with anything. That's what it feels like.
I mean, you just gotta love that, right? The establishment media has to run to, you know, defend the regime. And hold on, let's get a quick article up. And it's so funny how they run to defend the, you know, the president of the United States when they're supposed to be holding him accountable. They run and do PR for them. That's what you gotta love about media. They're just the extended arm of the Democratic Party.
Yep, exactly. I mean, it's not just the Democrats too. Or actually, I don't even know who this guy Hakeem Jeffries is, but he's blue check marked. I'm assuming that this is the same day, by the way. All right, this is at 4 p.m. on the 10th. Lock Kyle Rittenhouse and throw away the key. Not 6-7 hours later, the same people who rapidly scream lock her up and worship insurrectionists at cult rallies now pretend to be defenders of due process and the rule of law. Get lost. Okay, so you're one of those who believe in all that insurrection stuff and the lock her up. Oh, wait, same guy. End mass incarceration, defund the prison industrial complex. Same dude who just said lock Kyle Rittenhouse up and throw away the key.
Do, like, these which people, one is it, bro?
What is it? Both teams. Do you want to lock them up, or you want to get rid of mass incarceration or keep people free? Like, what do you want? You know what they want? They want to keep us divided. That's what really it is, right? Man. And now, you know, let's talk about last year too, because this all happened last year. This happened because Kenosha. Were you in Kenosha?
Yeah, and I was actually three blocks away from the, the shooting. Yep.
So you were actually in Kenosha when this was all going down. You saw the stuff. I saw a lot of your footage. I know that you were filming. You've covered a lot of incredible events over the last year, and we're going to get into it in a little bit, that you're covering the border and what's going down down over there, which is incredible. But you were there, and these people are trying to tell us that it didn't actually happen, that buildings weren't being burned last summer, and that if you believe that, then you're a conspiracy theorist. This is actually what's going on right now. Like, what do you have to say about that, as you were actually there?
I would have to say, so, I mean, just to let everyone know, you know, so I covered the George Floyd Black Lives Matter riots all summer, multiple cities. I mean, from Seattle to Portland to New York to Atlanta, Kenosha. Out of all those cities, Kenosha was by far the worst, because just a lack of law enforcement. I mean, you look left or right, there wasn't a National Guard on site. There wasn't any police officers. And it just seemed like almost every single building was on fire. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, from the car stores, the furniture stores, I believe they even burned down a bank while I was there with Elijah Schaefer. Wow. Coming at side by side. So it was chaos. It was destruction at, like I said, levels I've never seen it before. And you know what? The stuff that never makes the national news, Adam, is the next morning after the first two nights of these riots, the next morning, me and Elijah Schaefer, we spent time going down those roads and interviewing all the business owners to tell their story and just to see how heartbroken they were. For them to have nothing in this fight, and now their dreams destroyed. We met with grown men that were crying because, you know, their fathers and mothers built that business and passed it down to them, and they were going to pass it down to their kids. So that's the stuff that never makes the national news of just the effect on the local community. But it was by far, out of any city, it was like I said, it was the worst. It was the lack of law enforcement. The rioters could do whatever they want. And I love that none of the rioters got put on trial. No one cares about any of these, you know, rioters crossing state lines to go to a city that they've never been to before to wreak havoc on the city. So that's the stuff that never makes national media is all those locals whose lives are changed forever because of those events. Those, you know, and the people who committed those criminal acts have never been put on trial. No one has been charged for rioting or arson connected to this. So that's, I think, the most disgusting part of all of this.
Yeah, it's really sad. And, you know, these people now, the reason behind them going out and burning down small businesses, I feel, is can get pretty dark and conspiratorial even. Like, why are small businesses being targeted? Because it's not just Kenosha. It wasn't just the Twin Cities in Minneapolis area, you know, starting with the George Floyd stuff, or even everywhere. I mean, I was living in the boonies in Jersey at the time, and stores around me were boarding up, and I'm like, wow, everyone's boarding up because everyone was worried, because small businesses were being destroyed all across the country. And that, now we're seeing this. Okay, this is a tweet that I saw floating around. It's from yesterday. It's from Thomas Ricks. Who's this guy? He's a writer. In fact, my presumption is that anyone tweeting that American cities burned last summer is either working for the Russians or a dumbass dupe of them. This is how they're portraying it, though. They're making it out that you're crazy. No, it was the summer of love. What are you talking about? No, the summer of love. We had people creating their own communities, Chaz, you know, all that. Little did these people probably don't even realize that people are getting shot and killed in these places. And I mean, did you go to Chaz? I don't know if you actually.
I was in Chaz. We went undercover.
Not
I
want to surprised. Say,
Adam, I must, if I'm working for the Russians, I must not be getting a good salary picture, because I'm still driving my same Honda Civic. I wanted to say that. But one thing, there was also a period, and I remember in the summer, because this tweet just reminded me of, there was a period where CNN had a couple reporters where they would show up to the Portlands in Seattle.
Yeah.
And they would just go to like a random park middle of the day and take one picture and say, oh my gosh,
see,
the city's burning. You know, just kind of being sarcastic about it. But they never stick around and talk to those businesses. What I love about it too is Black Lives Matter, the whole summer, they burned down black and brown businesses. So they literally, it affected the people that they were supposed to stand up for. So
it's crazy.
That's the stuff that never gets told. Also, when we were in Kenosha, you know, there's a bunch of apartment buildings that had to put signs on the windows and say, kids live up here, please don't burn the building. Unfortunately, so some of those still came down.
It's so sad. These people are weaponizing hate and forcing it on people that have nothing to do with who they should be mad at, which are the elites, you know, the people in control of, I don't know. It's like, who should they be mad at, right? What do you think? Like, where's the actual, how do I phrase this? You know, where is this strife really coming from?
Well, I just think that, you know, the kind of establishment, whether it's the politicians, media, or, you know, these kind of big businesses like the Amazon and corporations, they have all kind of worked together to kind of take out the middle class, destroy the middle class. So that's what we're seeing right now, you know, all across the country. I'm from California. So in California, the middle class is being destroyed. It's literally just the top and the bottom now. And everyone else is off to fend for themselves. So, you know, we're also seeing people wake up and say, wait a minute, Amazon and Google and all these companies, they got to make all their profits during our shutdowns. You're really starting to see that anger. And I think a little bit of that is why we did see a January 6th, you know, why we did see Americans at the Capitol, is because when you see these politicians continue to screw you over and never provide a helpline, they could shut down your business, but never provide a helpline. They shut down your schools while their kids went to private school. that really starts to anger. And I think more than ever, we're starting to see kind of this huge difference between the middle class and then, you know, the very top elites in this country. Where, and it's also including, you know, the corporations. I think this is a side. This is beginning to really wake up that populist movement on the right now that says, wait a minute, you know, we first of all, we were all about capitalism and just kind of let everything run wild, while these companies are actively against us conservatives. So we're also seeing kind of that populism movement wake up and say, wait a minute, maybe we should break up a Facebook. Maybe we should break up an Amazon. Maybe they are getting too big and powerful. So,
Those corporations are against free market, right? They're shutting down any competition, which isn't free market capitalism, which is good, right? Free market capitalism, that's what we want. We're turning it now we're like right on the verge of falling too far into corporatism, which is the corporations and the government work together, which is actually fascism if you really get to it. That's where we're going.
You know, like even when it comes to, you know, our speech and on the internet, we're letting a small group of individuals that live in Silicon Valley kind of be the publishers of speech, whether it's Twitter, you know, Facebook, all these, you know, on YouTube. You can't say anything about the election on YouTube. You can't say anything about vaccines because your account's going to be taken down. You know, one thing that's also important to remember, there was leftist progressives that live stream J6, where all they did was live stream, provide no commentary. And then they sold that footage to CNN and you know, NBC News and all these big companies. But then YouTube still took down their YouTube account. So it's, you know, it's not just a right thing. It's also on the left, where if you don't follow the narrative and walk in line, you know, they'll do everything to take you out. We're just letting this small group in DC and Silicon Valley have power over the rest of us. It's, you know, hopefully people wake up because it's fucking ridiculous.
And no one voted for these people, right? I mean, they're just running on their own accord because they have the money. Which is nuts. We're living in this era. That's why I mentioned fascism, because it really is fascism when we, the people, we don't have the control anymore. Now it's corporations. Mark Zuckerberg is deciding. Now he wants to buy the metaverse, which is the next evolution of the internet. I don't know if you know much about it. You know about Meta, right? How they changed their name. So, you know, I'm into VR. I have a VR headset. I've done a bunch of it, and I like it. And I am a gamer, and I see that as the future of gaming. But I also see it as the future of communication and connection, which is because right now we're all interconnected. You know, I'm not even sure where you are right now. But look at, we're talking. You could be anywhere, right? Because it's just over the interwebs. It is the future. And they're trying to basically steal it out from under us instead of letting us have a say of what it is, because you said it, they are publishers, right? It is, they should no longer be protected by Section 230. I mean, it needs to be rewritten as a whole, because free speech should be all encompassing on the internet, and it's not currently, and I think that's a terrible tragedy. But yeah, this, you know, I think really what they're trying to do is destroy this country, right? I feel like this burning of down of our cities and not prosecuting the people that are burning it down, but then going after the people that are trying to stop them, because we see the government's not stopping them. Trump sent feds to Portland to stop that courthouse from being burnt down for months. How long were they trying to burn that courthouse down? Like 6 months?
I just remember that, Portland, they went for over 100 days.
Over 100 days.
Seen before. Yeah.
That's nuts.
And then, you know, what makes the situation worse too, Adam, is that the people who we elect and are supposed to, you know, represent us and everything, they either sold out to China or these multinational corporations. So, you know, if you live in Michigan, Ohio, or in Pennsylvania, you've seen those middle class good manufacturing jobs shipped off to China. And now you're seeing this fentanyl and opioids make its way to its communities. And then, you know, anytime American citizens like that lose good working jobs, high paying jobs, you're going to see divorce rates in this country. So this is how, you know, all these problems have just kind of stumbled on top of each other, from the border, from the elected officials in D.C., from Silicon Valley. And it's just kind of, it feels like we're just getting hit from every single angle. And, you know, I don't know. It's just we're just going downhill, and it just feels that China's playing the long game, and they're kind of just almost just laughing at us, just kind
they're
of watching
sitting back,
the destruction, the collapse.
They're sitting back and watching us burn from within and going, ha, 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 our plan worked. Good. We'll give them a few years after this, all this, when their blood gets settled, that's as far as I want to push that scary non-joke. But you did mention the border, and I did mention how they're trying to burn this country down. But let's talk about the border, because you just did a documentary, and actually I have it's like a 1 minute teaser. I'm going to play it right now for everybody so you guys can see this. Actually, I have to remove this so that I can, because I'm not sure if the audio works or not. So let me just share my screen. I want to share with you guys. I still have that stream. All right. So this is a new documentary, and I'm gonna play it for you guys right now. This is something that Jorge has been working on with the Daily Caller.
These marijuana grows are either connected to Mexican cartels or high-level criminal organizations that also use human trafficking, as they've used workers to work these girls. On this girl, there's 5 Chinese nationals that were working this girl that are undocumented, don't speak any English, and are most likely were human trafficked here into the United States to work on these illegal grow-ups.
Their whole purpose to come here was just to tend for the grow, and then it helps cover their costs for whoever brought them over.
Mexican cartel-related operations that have exploded in the Antelope Valley.
It doesn't stop.
We're 300 miles away from the border, and we have one of the largest illegal drug operations happening in the backyard in the high deserts of Los Angeles.
It's accelerating to the degree that we were just...
This looks like a video game. This isn't a video game. This is real. Those are assault weapons.
I mean, they are way ahead of us. We can't seem to get one step ahead of them.
This is the cartels. We are very, very close to driving down the freeway and seeing bodies hanging from the overpasses. That is what's coming.
Wow. So that is a new documentary that you have produced with the Daily Caller. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That is frightening. Now, who was talking there at the end? Who was saying that we're not far from seeing bodies hanging from the overpass? That's a frightening statement.
Yeah, so that was the mayor of Lancaster. His name is RX Paris. So basically, just to kind of give everyone just a kind of quick little breakdown, I've been covering the border pretty heavy. We could probably talk about what's going on there at the southern border. But while I was there, I met a Congressman Mike Garcia, who's a Republican who represents District 25 back in California, North LA County. So for folks who are not in California, North LA County, when you hear LA County, you probably just think the city and Hollywood and Santa Monica. But the county is so big that it actually kind of extends out to the rural desert communities, which is like the Antelope Valley, Acton, Neenah, Eastside, Lancaster. And in those communities, it's very desert. It's rural. People that live there lean probably more conservative because they don't like to live in the city. And essentially what's going on is that these cartels, the Mexican drug cartels, the Chinese mafia, and the Armenian crime organization, they have all found out about these deserts, and they're starting up these illegal marijuana operations. So they're either starting up on land that is not there, so what we call this a squatting, or they're just buying all these properties up and turning them into illegal marijuana grows. Now, look, I want to say before I even go on, when people think illegal marijuana, I know people don't think it's a really big deal. They think it's probably just like kind of Cheech and Chong in a desert growing pot. That is not the case at all. This is not an anti-weed thing, but it's just that people kind of need to understand the criminal element. So they start up these illegal marijuana operations, and then to then get that operation working, they actually smuggle migrants from the border and force them to work on these grow operations. So essentially what that term is called is labor trafficking. So when migrants are smuggled and they're used for sex, it's sex trafficking. But here they're used for work, and some of them are sex trafficked, but they're being used for labor trafficking. So now we're seeing labor trafficking on these grow ops. And essentially now that we have 3 cartels kind of battling each other, now the homicide rate in those deserts actually have gone up, because now you have cartels battling each other, shooting each other. They are heavily armed. They shoot at the at sheriffs and police officers. So in the documentary, you're going to see where we interview San Bernardino County Sheriff Shannon Dykus, who his sheriff has gotten shootouts with these cartels.
Wow.
So we have the violence problem. So, you know, LA County Sheriff is now finding bodies in the middle of the desert, shot and killed, connected to these girls. LA Times reported last year there was a 26-year-old from Guatemala that was forced to work on these girls. He ran away. He was shot and killed and, you know, buried out there. And you know, thank God they ended up finding his body. But as we all know, guys, marijuana needs water to grow. So this is where another big issue is, the water theft that these cartels are doing. So what these cartels do is they'll either drill illegal wells, they'll tap into the neighbor's aqueduct or, water line. So they'll tap into other American citizens. They'll just tap into their water lines and steal water. And they'll tap into the California aqueduct. And we interviewed residents that had bills, water bills up to like $1,600, $2,200, because the cartels are just siphoning that water. They'll go up to water, to fire hydrants, siphon the water. So we're kind of seeing this kind of violence, human trafficking, water theft issue. And it's to a point where there's nothing that the police could do about it, but it's now officially out of their hands. So right now in LA County, there's over 500 illegal grows. So try to picture.
Wow.
500 illegal girls in a desert where they're stealing water, they shoot at cops, and they shoot at American citizens. So if you even approach the girl, you take a picture of the girl, or you notify police, they will find you, and you will get those threats, or you could get shot at and killed. The water theft problem, the environment problem, and it's got out of control, especially on that human trafficking aspect. The county next door, which is called San Bernardino County, they have over 1,000 illegal grows. So just between two counties, you got close to 2,000 illegal grows, all controlled by criminal organizations between the Mexican drug cartels connected to Sinaloa, the Chinese mafia. And the Chinese mafia actually smuggles Chinese nationals through the southern border. So you're going to see it in our documentary. We go embedded with sheriffs when they raid these Chinese grows, and there's Chinese nationals on these grows. And now we're kind of seeing the Armenians – a crime organization also get involved. The sad part about it, Adam, is that in the middle of these kind of drug wars in the desert now, you have, you know, working class, regular American citizens that did not ask for this at all. The reason they, like I said, they move out to the desert is to get away from the city, get away from the crime. But now they have drug cartels in their little backyard. And this is 300 miles away from the border. So there's a kind of a misconception that Americans think that whatever happens at the border will never come to them. Absolutely not. Go out to those communities. They are being taken over by these cartels.
Just as a frame of reference, so I found this cut of the this is from the little clip that I just played. Mm-hmm. What would this be? One grow, or is this like two?
So that right here is two, and then if you kind of look at it here, Adam, you see all those white tarps in the desert.
Yeah,
those are all grows, out in the open, operating. The biggest grow that we found was in San Bernardino County. We found a grow that was 10 acres long. So we're talking million-dollar operations.
Wow.
Weapons on these, serious weapons. We're not talking about little handguns. We're talking about serious weapons on these grows. And the people that have these grows are undocumented migrants that are forced to work these grows. So we're seeing a kind of crime element. But that grow off, the 10-acre one, it was so big. You would have thought that Jeff Bezos and Amazon were running it.
That's crazy that it's getting to that point that we have that in our own backyard, that it's here. And I mean, how long has it been going on first before I make this next statement? Like, is this new, or has this been an ongoing problem?
So LA County Sheriff identified this problem for them in 2020. But the thing is, when they identified the problem, there was only 150 illegal grows.
Okay.
Fast forward a year later, they're at already over 500 just in LA.
Wow. So it's over, like, tripled.
Yep.
Almost. Jeez, that's crazy. So let's talk about the border then. What is going on with the border? Like, I was told by Jimmy Kimmel that the vice president has no job. So how dare you make fun of her, and you're a sexist and a bigot and a racist if you do anything of the sort. I was under the assumption that she was supposed to be taking care of the border.
Yes. So she was, you know, Kamala Harris was assigned as the border czar.
Right.
And she never even came to the border. She only did one stop, but she actually just did a press conference from the plane hangar. So could you imagine that? Like, not even have to leap. But
it's safe here.
Essentially for me, Adam, so for folks who don't know, I'm a frontline reporter, so I'm usually any of the bigger events, I'm on the front lines covering it, you know, from riots, you know, COVID shutdowns on businesses. And essentially during my coverage and just kind of doing my thing, the border became the number one issue. So obviously I said, well, let's go down there and see it for ourselves. The border is one of those few stories where, you know, sometimes the media things are overhyped, and then you get there in person and it's not as bad or as overhyped as the media made it seem.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually one of the situations where it was the exact opposite.
Because way worse.
When you read about the border, you could only see numbers. You know, you only see numbers, apprehensions, and, you know, this many migrants came this day, only right. numbers. When you get there in person and actually see the human beings, real life, these people that are being exploited by drug and human smuggling groups. I was speaking to a Border Patrol agent who told me that these smuggling groups are making up to $14 million a day just smuggling migrants.
Wow.
We're not even talking about the drugs.
Jeez.
So I will tell your audiences that the border crisis, it's real. I would actually call it a humanitarian crisis. The fiscal year just ended, so they had over 1.5 million apprehensions, and that's not even counting the gotaways. So that's a scary number. So for folks who don't know,
so essentially
we had almost 2 million people enter the country illegally. On top of that, we had the gotaways. So the gotaways are the migrants that the Border Patrol doesn't apprehend,
right?
And they basically make it into the country without us detecting. The huge issue here is the reason why we're seeing all these migrants come to the border. It's because Joe Biden, on his very first day in office, through executive order, removed the remain in Mexico policy.
Yeah.
So if I was a migrant, you know, the thinking was, well, why would I pay the cartels and do this dangerous journey to then cross illegally into the United States to seek asylum, only for Trump to tell me, well, you could seek asylum, but you have to wait in Mexico for that court policy. And when I spoke to Border Patrol, they love this policy because essentially when you release a migrant with a court order, only 13% of the time they even come to the court order. So essentially, that was a failed policy. So Trump comes in, puts in the remain in Mexico policy, which really helped curb illegal migration. Now the Biden administration comes in on their very first day through executive order, removes the remain in Mexico policy. Essentially, what this did, Adam, is if you're with a cartel or a human smuggling group, essentially the Biden administration just gave you your own sales tactic, because now when you go to these migrants, say, hey, this is the time to come, because if you cross over the border, you not only will you not get deported, you get released into the United States now. So then that's when we started to see all these migrants come in. And I kind of wanted to give your audience this. So this is actually a strategy from the cartel. So when I'm in La Jolla or Del Rio or McAllen, Texas, and we run into let's say we run into a group of 100, 200, 300 migrants, those migrants, they're not trying to run away from Border Patrol. They're actually trying to go to Border Patrol because they know they're going to get apprehended and get released into the United States. What this does on the Border Patrol side is when they run into these migrants, it overwhelms them, meaning they have to then process all the migrants. They have to separate unaccompanied minors from the adults. It's a long process on getting information, even calling in buses and then busing those migrants to migrant facilities. So when this happens and Border Patrol is overwhelmed, the cartel does this on purpose, where they pick specific areas where they want to do this. So when the Border Patrol is all overwhelmed with all these units, that leaves the rest of the border.
Bring in the rest.
More open and more drugs come in. So I want to give a quick stat, because this is the scary one.
Just between
2020 and 2021, according to a Border Patrol agent that I spoke with, fentanyl has already increased by 600% into the country. So we have a fentanyl crisis. We have a human smuggling trafficking crisis, the stuff that never makes the headlines. And I see it for myself. We interview these people. We have the videos and reports. They never meet the women that are sex trafficked on the way, the unaccompanied minors that have been sexually molested on the way, who are going to get essentially sex trafficked here. This is another scary stat for folks. Please pay attention. Axios in September put out a report saying 1 out of 3 unaccompanied children that get released into the United States, the government loses track of. So supposedly the government is releasing these migrants, well, these unaccompanied minors, to vetted sponsors. Well, we must not be doing a good job of vetting these sponsors if 1 out of 3 unaccompanied children get lost into the system. The situation is so bad that the Department of Justice, DOJ, is now running an investigation on the federal government to see if we are releasing unaccompanied children to labor traffickers. So that's what you're going to see in my documentary, Adam, is the labor trafficking aspect. But that's how bad the situation is. I think it's appropriate to call it a humanitarian crisis.
I think I agree with you 100%. And I just want to take a quick second. First and foremost, thank you for all the hard work that you've been doing. I've been recognized. I've been following you for a while. And I just want to let everyone know, down in the description below is his information. There's also the website where you can watch the documentary that we're discussing right now. Please give him a follow. Please support him. This is really important information that we really need people out there to know about. And one thing that's popped in my head now is two things, right? You said that Chinese nationals are being smuggled in. Now we know there was an FBI report that came out last year that we've actually apprehended Chinese nationals coming through the airline, bringing in SARS-CoV, the actual like vials of like the actual virus and different versions of it, bringing them to universities, and they were apprehended, and they actually took the stuff and were like, all right, well, why do you have this? And it actually happened a couple times. It was really weird. It's something that we reported on the Timcast IRL show when I was on there. And, you know, that's a scary thing. And then I actually just recently did a segment about how the Chinese government was coming down on the different drug manufacturers because fentanyl became illegal for them to make, which they used to make it there. Now they're actually, they're skirting this by actually making the stuff that you make fentanyl with, because that's still legal, and sending it to Mexico so the cartels in Mexico can make the fentanyl. And now we're seeing how they're getting it into 600%. That is insane. A 600% increase in fentanyl coming into our border. What does fentanyl do? It kills us. It disrupts America. That all I'm seeing this whole episode is just they want to destroy this country. They want to upend this country because this country is the beacon of what freedom is on this planet. China doesn't want us around. Australia is lost. They're practically full fascist now. I mean, Canada, Trudeau's like looking like he wants to do exactly what they're doing over there. It's like Europe. I mean, there's each different country has different things going on over there, but my, you know, if we are truly divided and we start fighting each other, and people are dying from fentanyl, people are dying from heart disorders, from mysterious illnesses, we'll just put it that way. You know, we're in a hot mess right now. This is serious. And I think there is some light. Like, we're seeing parents taking over the school boards, right? They're winning seats on school boards to stop the indoctrination of children, which is awesome. We're seeing this purge of rhinos in the Republican Party. Not saying that I think the Republicans have the answers, but I do tend to line more with Republicans than Democrats. Well, I don't line with any Democrat at all. Maybe Tulsi Gabbard, if she even is a Democrat anymore, and even still not even 100%. But what do we do, right? I mean, you're actually on the front lines, and I feel like you would actually have more of an idea of like, where do we even start? Because this is a huge problem, right? How do we, what's the beginning to even, what can the average person sitting out here watching our show, listening to us right now do? Right, as a start to help stop this.
I mean, I think just from what I've been seeing on the front lines, where you could start, and you said it right now too, Adam, is local level school boards, and not only just school boards, but like mayor, city council. Start at the local level because that's where these kind of issues arise from. And we're actually working on a mini documentary in Loudoun County in Virginia regarding kind of the battle of parents taking back you know, their children's education. We saw it also in the Youngkin race. What makes it also with this interesting is too, a lot of these immigrants, you know, the ones who are citizens here, you know, they're socially conservative, so they don't agree with CRT or kind of this transgender education push on their children as well. So this is a great opportunity for the right to bring them in, unite them. But hey, I'm on the team where let's bring the populist left the populist right and bring these kind of two together, because the populist left agrees on this, on a lot of same things. They're for worker rights. They're kind of tired of these corporations taking over and, you know, just the middle class of America getting screwed over. And for folks who don't remember, in 2015, even Bernie Sanders said the reason why you need a strong border is to protect American wages. So, you know, don't forget that these corporations, they love open borders because they get to screw over you, the American worker, and undermine your wages all day. So pay attention for that. But start at the local level. And then from there, also kind of have a mindset switch. So one thing that I try to tell my friends or people around me is stop looking at politicians and politics like a sports team. Like, don't always defend them on every single thing. Hold them accountable. Be critical of them. These are people that represent us at the end of the day, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. If they're not representing the issue that you care about, vote them out. Whether, like I said, whether they have a D or next to the name or an R. Too many times people kind of get caught looking at politicians like a sports team. They always want to defend one side. You know, there's kind of a misconception, you know, thinking of like, oh, you know, the Republican Party wants to stop illegal immigration. I mean, yeah, they might want to stop illegal immigration, but they're also bringing in migrants through the HB1 visas and still taking away from American worker jobs. So pay attention to all those aspects. Have that mindset switch where you don't look at this like sports teams, but, you know, just from being on the front lines, start off the local level. That's how you kind of see the biggest difference in real time.
There it is right there. I agree 100%. Yeah, we really need to really just be a part of things, right? I feel like part of the problem is complacency. You know, we've been comfortable working on what we want to work on that isn't necessarily for the public, you know, or like for others. It's like what I want to do, you know, I'm working on me. I'm working on a project that I feel is important, or a job that I have to work hard at to pay for my family, instead of public service, which it can be that, you know. It's like being a public servant is awesome. I mean, geez, these senators are making millions of dollars a year. I don't know how, but I do know how. But I mean, hey, it seems pretty lucrative. Why wouldn't more people want to be involved in politics? Because obviously the money's really good. Geez.
Adam, we just had the trucker from New Jersey, Edward Dunn. All he spent was like $153 on his campaign, and he won an upset race against a powerful Democratic senator. And look, what it, you know, I seen some interviews and Edward literally says, look, I just wanted to change what was going on. I said, why not me? And look, so regular people get in there, take these establishment guys out. But he's a great story. Just
Awesome.
A trucker from New Jersey that was just sick of things and got in it, you know, got in himself and got his hands dirty.
I love that, too. How awesome is that story, right? That's someone.
My dad's a trucker, so that was awesome.
And you know what? And shout out to all the truckers out there, because seriously, the truckers are the lifeblood. And that's part of the reason we're in this situation, is these port towns are not letting truckers even come in and get their stuff to go on their way. You know what it is? They're starving the truckers out, because truckers don't get paid when they're just sitting there. They get paid mileage, I believe. So if they aren't driving and moving product, they're not getting paid. So I think it's all a push to really starve everyone out, because there's all that stuff is still sitting there. You know, the Asian food joke that judge said, that's funny. All right. That's a good joke, because there are all these ships that for some reason now they're only using one crane instead of the four cranes. And, you know, they have half a crew because, you know, they're having these mandates where people are like, we're not going to follow these mandates because of all of these actual studies that you seem to be ignoring. The top one that you are ignoring is natural immunity. Now, I've gotten lots of strikes for talking about this stuff, so I'm going to refrain from continuing on. But it's ridiculous. We have to take those positions away. People are like, well, we got to have term limits. Like, all right, well, to implement term limits, people, if we really think term limits is a good idea, which I do, I think term limits is a great idea. Someone was like, well, why do we need term limits? That's what voting's for. And it's like, okay, sure. But like you said, people get into this mindset. It's like sports teams, you know? It's like, but I'm rooting for this person because I don't like that other person. That's how they got a lot of people to vote against Trump. Now, Whether or not he actually lost is another story. I'm not sure.
Don't get your stream taken off right now. Hold on.
Hey, listen, I can insinuate that. I'm not saying anything. I'm said whether or not he actually did. I'm just simply stating. Who knows if I'm already in trouble already, but who knows? But look, bottom line is, people, please go support Jorge. This is amazing stuff that he's doing, and please go follow him. I got your Instagram, I got your Twitter, and I have the website. Do you have your own YouTube channel? I should probably put that in there if you got that.
I don't have YouTube, but I just want to just say this really quick. So for the audience, so you can find me on Instagram at Jorge Ventura TV. You're going to get all of our news reports, Twitter as well. Twitter is going to be Ventura Report. You get all the live breaking news. Now, the documentary, we have our own website for the documentary. It's carteldoc.com, all in one, D-O-C. So carteldoc.com, all in one. We didn't want to count on YouTube or any shadow banning, so we have our own website. If you guys click the website, oh, there it is. Adam has it up. You can watch the trailer. So the trailer is great because you get to send it to a family and friend, and then you got the full documentary access right there.
Awesome. Let me just say thank you for joining me, and thank you for all the work that you've been doing. I've followed you for over a year now, and it's, you know, you always are on the front lines. You're always there in the different crazy stuff that I'm talking about in my job, and I see you, and you're there. So props to that, because, you know, I've been in one riot situation. I was in the Baltimore riots of, like, I think it was 2013, 2014, when Baltimore was burning, and there was the riot police stopping it. I was there with Tim, actually. I was filming him. But, you know, so I've been on the scene, but only a couple times, you know? So, like, I know what it's like, but that wasn't nearly as bad as some of the stuff that I've seen over the past year. So props to you, man.
No, I really appreciate you having me on, Adam, and just getting this information out to more people.
Yes.
100% grateful for that, because we're just trying to get all the frontline news out there and get it out to folks. A lot of these journalists nowadays, especially on the liberal, you know, mainstream media, they do all the reporting from, you know, inside their apartments. It's like, get out there and tell stories and talk to real people. So that's the type of work that we try to do. So really appreciate, Adam, for amplifying that and getting that out to folks.
Oh, it's my pleasure. All right, I got some super chats. I'm sure I have some questions some people might want to ask. Let me just find where we're at. There we go. First and foremost, the Magnum Express says, "Where's Robert?" Yeah, that's true. Where is Robert? I hope he's okay. I haven't seen him, but you know, I wish him well. Hopefully, you know, his pug's all right. He's been saying that it took a turn for the worse. Let's see. Jay Clifford said, "What? YouTube is cutting the stream of actual lawyers? Are they not in enough hot water with Crowder's lawyers and the dislike counter?" Yeah, it kind of caught me off guard that they actually did that, because it's a public stream. Like, it's a public trial. Like, who's copywriting public information? Like, that's why they were able to be turned back on. It's just fishy, the timing, right when the prosecution was making their closing statement. It's like they don't want the public to see it. I mean, it's weird because the PBS stream never died. It wasn't Epic Times. Their stream didn't die, but it was, I mean, Rikita has the biggest coverage stream.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He's beat everyone.
The mainstream channels.
He's beaten everyone. All mainstream. He's still talking right now. They're just chatting right now. Still have over 50,000 people of them breaking down what they're a bunch of lawyers breaking down what they did. And, like, that's what people want. They want that conversation of lawyers breaking stuff down, getting, like, the real conversation, not being gaslit by the prosecution, which absolutely you could tell the prosecution were just gaslighting them all. And the defense was just like, they're gaslighting all of this. Like, look at the videos. Listen to their witnesses. It's self-defense. It's crazy. So shout out to Ricada Law. Let's see. Old World Blues says, "Can you learn Whispering Pines by Johnny Horton?" I don't know. Maybe I'll check that out. So I don't do covers. I'm a singer-songwriter also. I don't know if you knew that, but I do every 100 episodes, I'll do a basically a covers stream where I do a bunch of covers and sing a bunch of songs that aren't mine, which always gets me like a copyright issue. It's not like a strike against my channel. It's just like I can't monetize the stream itself, which, you know, whatever.
Yeah, for your next cover, man, you got to cover some of my – one of my favorite bands is Sublime, man. Coming from California, so we would be on the Sublime on the beach all day, man.
All right. Well, I mean, that's one of my favorite yeah. song or favorite bands. I already cover some Sublime songs. What I got was the first song I ever learned on a guitar.
Oh, and okay, that's cool. That's cool.
I actually someone just introduced me to his son's music. Have you ever heard Bradley's son?
No.
So I haven't heard. Oh, hold on. Let me stop this. I guess they just finished the stream. So Bradley's son sounds, I kid you not, exactly like Bradley.
I need to check it out.
Sings like him. All right. So the name of, you know what? I'll DM you some of the videos someone sent me. The name of the band is called Law, L-A-W. And it's good, man. It's good. So yeah. So both come check out my 300th episode. I'll play a Sublime song. Let's see. Robert Shaw says, remember, big tech got big because people chose to use them. People chose to be lazy and not use the alternative. And we still use them. By the way, hashtag not guilty. He's got a point. You know, we do continue. I continue to use Twitter. I'm on YouTube. I've been cut off. I can't talk about certain things because I will get cut off. You know, I am guilty of that. You know, I am part of it, but this is also where people come for this kind of thing.
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a new public town hall. So, I mean, yeah, we can make our own website or go on these apps, but we're not reaching people. You're not changing minds and getting that information out. So look, I obviously we're on big tech now. I get it.
Yeah.
But this is the new public town hall. It's, I mean, where else are we supposed to go? This is where everyone is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I were to move off to Rumble, DLive, Odyssey, you know, you name it, one of these places, they're echo chambers, right? Exactly. A lot of the people that watch my show, I assume have similar viewpoints as me. That's why you watch me, or maybe you think I'm completely wrong all the time, and that's fine. You can watch me and definitely let me know. You know, if I'm wrong, that's fine too. But you know, moving off of these main platforms where everyone's at, like Twitter, for example, like so many people can't stand me on Twitter. Like they tell me all the time. They constantly are trying to tell me how wrong I am, and I'm okay with that. And I don't even have to respond because of all the people that have got my back. And it's amazing because they are like, they'll ratio the people. I don't even have to touch it. You know, I'll see them defending me. And I'm like, that's awesome. And you know what? Shout out to you, chat, because I see you do this too. You know, someone will be talking shit about me in chat, which honestly, I don't care about, you know, whatever, that they're still giving me a view. And you have to be a subscriber to talk in my chat. So I was like, all right, whatever. Thanks for the subscription. Thanks for the view. And thanks for getting my back. You know what I mean? Because it's like, whatever. I don't really care. Let them talk. And, you know, if you don't have haters, you're not doing something right. All right, where are we at? I think I know why you didn't read my chat out loud on Friday. No worries. I get it. Just hope you read it for yourself. Fist pump, bro. Ricardo, yes. Yes, you nailed it. I'll leave it at that. Lionheart, thank you for celebrating 5 months of membership. Thank you for that support, mate. I appreciate you. Old World Blues says, can you... Oh, I read that one. I guess I missed that Ricardo one. Andrea and Zachary celebrating 13 months of membership. Wow, that is
that's
a long time. Thank you so much for that support. That is amazing.
True supporters, day one.
True that. Love that. Long time. Robert Shaw says, remember... Oh, I read that one already. What's going on with these super chats? Okay, Andreas and Zachary, IVF Fundraising GoFundMe says, please check out our page and read our story. They are trying to do in vitro pregnancy, and I really wish you guys well. Go check out their fundraising page if you would like to help them out. Let's see. Where was I? Robert Shaw says, military to fight the cartel? No oil, right?
Oof. Hey, you might be onto something, man. Maybe that's what we need to tell.
There's oil out there. Boom. Next day. Well, I mean, and they're sending 500 what 500 troops to Kenosha just in case? Just in case what? You think, well, because people might riot? Why? Well, is Black Lives Matter going to riot? Well, why? Why would they riot? What? He's not a racist. He didn't, you know, he defended himself. Who's going to riot? Antifa? Okay, well, you should maybe do something about that because they're going to try to burn the place down when the law has proven that he was defending himself. Granted, that's what I'm assuming is going to happen. But I think we all know if he wins, there's going to be a riot.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Yep.
I mean,
I'll be there. Be there.
And
ready.
You'll be there. Mm-hmm. Jay Rico says, for those who live on the border, the human/drug smuggling has always been an issue, but I can say I have never seen it this bad. It's crazy to think about. Mm-hmm. Like a 600% increase. I can't get that number out of my head because I know how bad fentanyl is. It's, you know, it's crazy. I have a friend of mine. I wouldn't say a friend, but I knew him in high school, and he died from a heroin overdose. And fentanyl is way worse than heroin, right? What I understand.
Yeah, you could die, you know, doing fentanyl just on your first time. I mean,
that's crazy.
We've never heard of anything like that.
I saw a super chat come in. Here it is. This is from Chet Chisholm, who is a paramedic in Canada. He said that the fentanyl that comes in is usually carfentanil, not what we use in hospitals and EMS. It's very highly concentrated and used as large animal sedatives. If you breathe in the dust, you are in trouble. So even if you breathe in the dust of this stuff, you're in trouble. That's a scary thought. Robert Shaw says Britain did the same to China with opium.
Oh.
So they learned. I think they're definitely trying to
look that up. Yeah, I gotta do some research on that. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what caused like almost the collapse of like the Chinese nation because they just drugged everybody, and it feels like they're now building back, and they're like, the world's gonna be ours now. And you know what? That worked. Let's do it. Let's combine all of the stuff we know, right? Indoctrination, drugs. I can't say anything else. You get add some things to the list. What you think that I would probably say there? Things that are maybe going on in the past year.
it could potentially rhyme with Charlie Sheen.
Yes, there it is. Robert Shaw says support alternatives or nothing will change. I don't think that's enough. That's not enough. All right, I'll go over to Parler and Odyssey, right? I know a lot of you will probably follow me and support me, but am I making more of a difference? Am I being, I don't even feel like the algorithms of YouTube are even helping me anyway. But you know, it's like I am furthering myself away from the group of humans that are like the center mass, if you will, right? I could go over here and some people will come with me over here, but then I'm going to be over here, but I'm not in the middle of it all, right? You right now, as you like, you know, you were saying it, it's the town hall. Right now, it's not legally the town hall, but I think it should be, because what is the internet? The internet is what connects us all. It is the new town hall. It's almost as if the government is trying to hold that off as long as possible, mm-hmm. when we know it's true, and these big tech companies are hiding behind 230, even though they are absolutely publishers, because they're picking and choosing. Not only that, they're working with government. Facebook came out and Jen Psaki admitted it. They're like, we're working with Facebook to stop misinformation. It's like, whoa. Government and corporation collusion. Do you know who coined the phrase corporatism is actually fascism when corporations and government work together? You know who said that?
Who?
Mussolini. Said it. That was Mussolini who said it, and he's right.
He's right.
It's fascism. Yeah. We don't have a say anymore. When government uses big tech to stop the people from even talking, you know why Sweden didn't lock down? Because it's written in their constitution they can't keep people from talking to each other, because that's how dictators rise to power. It's written in their constitution. Man, I thought it was written in our constitution. Yeah, man. What's going on?
Can we borrow that one or what?
Why people, they're so angry at Sweden. But it's like, dude, Sweden did it right. Look at their numbers. I can't even talk about their numbers because I'd probably get in trouble for even just showing you guys this information. But please go ahead, do some comparison on the numbers of Sweden. They do it right. Ricardo again, what's up, buddy? Says, hola, Jorge. This is in Spanish, but te felicito por tu trabajo. Keep it up.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
How was my accent? Was that all right? Did I say it right?
Good. That was good, Adam.
But it's saying for your job or your... What is it?
He's basically telling me congrats. So, no, I appreciate it. Thank you, Ricardo.
Congrats for your job, like on your work, basically. Yeah. Cool. I don't really... I can... You know, I took Spanish a little bit back in the day, so I kind of... See it a little bit. Robert Shaw says pancakes or waffles.
I'm gonna go waffles.
Good choice. I would prefer waffles as well. I'm gonna go with waffles. Chris McIntosh with a 500. Oh, what is this P? Someone actually told me it's the P with the three crosses. I forget what it is, but I think it's like a $20 super chat. Did you see my follow up email regarding the social media platform? Came from CMC on Wembassy. I haven't seen it. I've been dealing with a lot of stuff on the side. I haven't been able to get into the emails recently. So if I have missed it, I apologize. But I will get around to it. Robert Shaw says Hillary or Biden as president. That's a tough one because
I'll go first. Because Biden, I mean, just in 6 months, Biden has, he's been almost in a year, has just ruined this whole, I'll go Clinton because it'll probably take her like a little bit longer to ruin the whole country.
Well, I'm going to go Hillary also because at least we know who's wearing the pants.
Yeah.
Right.
At least you could talk, you know?
Right. I don't even know if I could be mad at Biden because I don't think he's making the decisions. I don't. I love these questions though. Robert Shaw is continuing on. He says shampoo or conditioner, both.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll go shampoo. Yeah. I guess.
Same. Yes. Yeah. Shampoo, because you know, if you're gonna choose one, so you can clean. All right. Let's see. Robert Shaw says fighting the cartel is a win for the Hawks, right? I don't even understand what that means. Yeah. Robert Shaw again says war is hard and costly. Sabotage is easy and cheap.
Ah, I like that.
There it is. I agree.
I have to get that in a shirt.
Yeah, true. Postal with a $10 super chat says, Jorge, you are a warrior. Keep showing us truths and be safe. We need guys like you. Adam, you speaking truths as always. So stay away from strikes. Keep it going, guys. Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate it, brother.
And I'll second that. Robert Shaw says, a random person or Biden?
That's a good one.
Random person.
Let's go with the random.
We'd be better off.
That's a good one.
That is pretty good. All right. Well, listen, everyone. That is my show. Oh, I got one more. Chet says, if it's Biden, you know who is wearing the poopy pants. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
It's a good finish. I like it. Well, thank you very much for joining me. And please, everyone, go follow him everywhere. If you want breaking information, if you want the real information, right? I've been talking about what's been on the news for a long time. And I can tell you, this is one of my sources for knowing what's really going on because he posts actual videos of what's actually happening and fairly unbiased. I mean, I know that everyone has a bias, but you do a very good job of going, this is what's happening in front of me. And here is literal video evidence of said happenings, right? So thank you for being a great source for me and the world to wake up and see what's actually happening.
No, Adam, thank you so much for having me on, man. Like I said, I appreciate, you know, you helping me get this information out to more people. And, you know, we all got to stick together out here, man. It's like us against kind of that mainstream media news machine.
Definitely.
That they got. So really quick, guys, just one more time, please, guys, go support the documentary. It's on carteldoc.com. Like I said, carteldoc.com, D-O-C, jorgeventura.com. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Find me. You can still find me on Instagram at Jorge Ventura TV, and I'm on Twitter at Ventura Report. I guarantee you guys will love the coverage you guys get. Kind of like exactly what Adam said. It's video. It's on the front lines, so you see it. And you know the best part about video, you can't dispute it.
Exactly. Yeah, and keep doing it. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for joining me. I am going to head out of here, and I will be back, of course, tomorrow. I have Savannah Hernandez joining me, and further on into the week, I have a few different guests. I got, of course, Quarter Black joining me on Wednesday, and this Thursday, I have a surprise guest that I'm kind of excited to have on the show. I'm not going to announce who it is, maybe later on in the week, but I am looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. So you all have a great night, and I will see you all next time. Have a great night. Good night. Please smash the like button for The Krigler Show, coming to you live Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern Time.